Previously on Ancient Technologies, I took you through the astonishing megalithic site of Sacsayhuaman in Cusco, Peru. Deep into the ongoing excavations being undertaken by the Chincana Project team in search of underground passageways and entrance points into a fabled labyrinth that is said to run beneath Sacsayhuaman, connecting it to various sacred sites across the Andes region, including the Coricancha or Sun Temple in the heart of the city of Cusco. I showed you clear evidence of precision engineering deep below the megalithic complex, the unmistakable signs of infrastructure deep below Sacsayhuaman are being revealed. Sacsayhuaman is an engineering marvel, and one that defies an accepted explanation for not only its intended purpose, but also the methods of construction that were employed and the definitive time period when these multi-ton megalithic stones with their marshmallow-like appearance were actually constructed and placed. The level of expertise on display, juxtaposed with the extremely simple Bronze Age toolkit of the Inca, to which mainstream archaeologists attribute the construction of Sacsayhuaman, causes any critically thinking person to stop for a moment and consider the likelihood of a copper and bronze-wielding culture with nothing more than simple chisels and hammerstones, possessing the ability to quarry, carve, cut, lift, transport, and then precision place multi-ton stones. Especially when you realize that Sacsayhuaman's blocks are not only composed of limestone, a relatively soft and more workable stone, but also diorite and andesite, two extremely hard stones that would heavily resist damage from copper and bronze tools, which are far softer than the stone itself. And yet we find andesite and diorite stones being cut into as if it was nothing to them. Polished surfaces that completely defy the capability of the Bronze Age toolkit. For example, this absolutely baffling area, adjacent to the main plaza of Cyclopean stone walls, towers a strange geological formation known as the Rodadero. This dioritic outcrop is the result of an ancient magma bubble bursting through the surface of the earth and cooling into the formation you now see. Diorite is an incredibly hard igneous rock. It is not possible to do precision carving and cutting on dioritic rock with a copper or bronze chisel, and yet these are precisely the tools we are being told we used to achieve works such as this.
And this is diorite?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, this is where it gets weird. Oh, wow. What the f***?
These are not the signatures of a quarry. These cuts were done with a different purpose in mind, smoothed down to a fine finish on stone that would defy all attempts from typical Bronze Age tools to shape it. And yet, here they are, invoking once again the possibility that these works belong to a different time than that of the Inca, inviting us to look for answers further back into the ancient past than the mainstream currently accepts. We have to defy their proclamations of absolute certainty, because the evidence does not agree with their conclusions. The level of expertise and sophistication of the toolkit required to create marble-top smooth precision 90-degree angle cuts into diorite rock forces us to question how and when such cuts were achieved. And they weren't just achieved once or twice. Around Sacsayhuaman, we find literally countless examples of precision stone cutting on a mastery level of expertise. Strewn across this mountainous landscape, we find one example after another of precision stonework that shows evidence of severe weathering and damage that forces us to reconsider the chronology of their creation. Rather than 500 years ago, we see a level of damage and degradation that invites a far more ancient origin, one that witnessed geological trauma, natural forces of unimaginable strength, slinging stones the size of buildings across the land, as if attacked by a race of giants. Walking around the surrounding area of Sacsayhuaman, away from the main walls, you will find precision niches cut directly into bedrock outcrops, andesite blocks and circular enclosures that hint of further infrastructure below. We see scoop marks into stone, as if they were once softened, just as we find in many other areas across the world, including Egypt, the global signatures, the hallmarks of an ancient, worldwide presence, are once again on display in the stonework of Peru. And this is one of the reasons why we must give due consideration to the argument that the Inca were not responsible for these most impressive of megalithic works across Peru. Because these works share the same hallmarks, they share the same common features with megalithic projects worldwide. Whether it be the stone nubs that we find protruding from blocks and bedrocks, this is a feature that we find across the megalithic world on a global scale, from Egypt to India, Peru to Pakistan, the stone nubs are present. And then we have the scoop marks, the indentations in stone that show no signs of chisel marking and instead seem to suggest that the rock was quite literally scooped, leaving a smooth channel and indentation in otherwise incredibly hard stone such as andesite, diorite, and rose quartz granite. Once again, we find this signature in ancient Peru, we find it in Egypt, and across the ancient megalithic prehistoric world. Another data point that begins to reinforce the likelihood that these megalithic works in Peru, where these design features and signatures are present, are in fact older than the Bronze Age Inca, and are indicative of a global pattern in megalithic stone building that invokes the need for a lost civilization. A lost chapter of human history, of which we have evidence for in the form of architectural anomalies, oral tradition, and cultural myth worldwide. And Peru is no exception. In fact, I would argue that Peru is one of the most important areas in the world for examining the evidence of lost periods of human civilization. As we continue to journey across the area surrounding Sacsayhuaman, we continue to encounter one stonework anomaly after another. For example, these boulders that we came across along the path, they have these incredible carvings in a style that we see across Peru, with these rectangular recesses, sharply defined internal planes, and a slightly beveled outer edge. It's a style we find in virtually all of the ancient sacred sites I visited in Cusco. It's also a style that is echoed across the megalithic stone building world, further challenging the claim that these works belong to the Bronze Age Inca, and strengthening the possibility of a far older, globally connected civilization. The cavities in these stones have uniformed depth, corners are cleanly executed, suggesting controlled stone removal, not random chisel work. The inner surfaces appear flat and even. The outer rim has precision-cut right angles, but the blocks themselves show signs of severe weathering and fracturing, implying an origin in deep antiquity.